Surrender that, Lord. May you be number one, Lord. Bring to our attention where we are not that perfect, Lord, but falling short in any way, Lord. Maybe letting this flesh bubble to the top sometimes, or whatever it may be, Lord. May you come first in our life, Lord. Pray that you be with us this morning now, and be with the worship and the songs and the words of life that are spoken. May you minister to our hearts now. Thank you for bringing us through the week and being with those that are sick. And pray that you would continue to lift those up, Lord, that have prayer requests and those needs upon the hearts. We ask these blessings now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He has made me glad. Enter his courts, gates.
He has made me glad.
What am I?
sing this here number 51, Glory to His Name. Amen. In Romans, he said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Amen. That's a deep meaning that sometimes theologians overlook, or the denominations, you know, they just, if you confess with your mouth and so forth, but believe in thine heart. Then he preached the whole message, believe from your heart, you know, and what that really means. He says, oh, this is a different one, but he says, oh, isn't he wonderful? Now with our confession, our belief, our confession of our sins, believing that all of our sins is in this sea of forgetfulness, he that will confess his sins, God is just to omit them. They're in the sea of the blood of Jesus Christ, never to be remembered no more. How many of you women know what bleach is? Just take a wash tub full of Clorox, a great big tub full, and then you're going to take a little eyedropper. You got one drop of black ink in that eyedropper. That's your sins. Stand right over the tub, squeeze it down, then look down in the tub and find it. What become of it? What become of the ink when it struck that bleach? It was so powerful, it just took the coating right out of it. It can no more, never be no more. What is it? It's gone. It's eternally lost. Amen. Thank the Lord.
That's right.
What is it? The ink itself becomes Clorox. That's the blood of Jesus Christ to every confessed sin. And sin is something we're born with. What is it? It's forgotten. It's done. It's finished. It's omitted. It's divorced. It's put away. It can never be remembered against you no more. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's a wonderful thing to the believer.
That's right. Amen.
Let's try this above all. I think we've done this before, but it's pretty simple. Maybe D. I think it's D. I'm sure it's in the book, actually. It's probably in there. I forgot to look. No, okay. So we'll just sing it here.
Above all powers, above all.
Predestinated to think of us. We were an eternal thought in the mind of God. Yeah. Amen. He never stopped thinking about us. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Keep me near the cross, near the cross. May I never stray so far that I cannot see. Look down for me at the foot of the cross. Keep me near the cross, near the cross. May I never stray so far that I cannot see what flowed down for me at the foot.
Servant of God this morning and every single day. Amen. We walk into this world and you may be the only thing they know about God.
That's right.
At all. To think how fortunate we are to grow up in the message, to grow up knowing Him or knowing about Him at least while we were growing up. And there are some people whom the only people they have ever known have been horrible people from the time they were little to the time they were grown. And to think that we have that we've had, and how we should be so thankful to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful this morning. I know we're probably never thankful enough, Lord, but we are so thankful for your word, Lord, for how it leads us, for how it's taking control in our heart, Lord, so that it does not need the intellect to back up something, Lord, but just knows that it's the truth, Lord, by faith. And we find that all through the Bible, Lord, people not knowing things by the intellect, but knowing them by faith and continuing on, Lord, and becoming the manifestation of the thing they had questions about, Lord. And Father, we pray you'll help us in the word this morning and speak to us, Lord. We ask in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I preached a message one time, and I can't remember what I named it, but it was about the real reality. And it was, the real reality is what God says, not what Satan has deformed and made to look like something else. And I, you know, there's so many times in every single day of your life, you can be walking along, things that'll start taking place, and Satan will start painting them just a little bit this way and paint them a little bit that way. And after a while, he has a mirage painted for you. And that mirage, if you'll look at it closely, you'll see that there's something in that mirage that he's made. And by this painting, I mean he's created a feeling in your life, or he's created some attitude or something in your life that if you'll look at that and examine it, you'll see where he twisted things. You'll see where he assumed. He had you assume this and assume that. And you'll see how he built these things, where if we had just stayed with the word, just stayed by faith, not running and living by this intellect, but by running and living by faith in the word, then he makes all things clear in his time and in his way. And, you know, Brother Branham always talked about those three Hebrew children, and he talked about what was going on in heaven. Although nobody could see anything down on earth other than they were condemned to the fire and they were heating it seven times hotter and they were getting ready to take them down in there. And Brother Branham said up in heaven, there was something going on. The angels were asking God, did you see what's going on? He was dramatizing it. And all the time, God was preparing to go himself, he said. And he reached and got a tree, a leaf off the tree of life, and went down and stood with them. And so the reality that was going on, they couldn't see it yet. But their faith was anchored to that. They had no idea that was going on in heaven. But somehow or another, down in their hearts, their faith was anchored to that word. That this is the word. And they were anchored to that. They had no idea what that being anchored to that was causing in heaven. And your life as a Christian is no different. It's the same thing. God is the one puts that in your heart. He's the one that makes you yearn for things that you don't see. Ask for things that you might not have asked for. And say things and do things that you didn't think you would say and do. And he leads. He orders the footsteps all the time. Using, even when you stumble, he uses all the footsteps. Amen. Now this morning we're continuing in this thought about being the creation of the word, which that's the prophet's words, not mine. And I'm so glad that I am a creation of the word. And I doesn't mean I wasn't in God's mind eternally. That's why I'm a creation of the word, because I was in God's mind eternally. And so let's look at this morning how Brother Branham, the first message I ever preached, I talked about God brooding over the earth. And that brooding is a whole lot of words about it. And I mean, there's a whole lot of meanings in the dictionary about it. If somebody, you say somebody's brooding, that means they're stewing over something. They're kind of mad about it. And they're rolling it around in their head, stewing about it. But if you go back, it doesn't necessarily mean they're mad about it. It's something that they're focused on. It's something that they're, and then in other places, it talks about animals and stuff brooding or hatching out eggs and stuff. So, but the Logos, Brother Branham said, was God, and that there was a female part of the Logos. And this is really, really good here. What now? I won't. First, we're going to take something out of the seed shall not be heir with the shuck, and then we're going to go over into an unveiling of God. And I think we're going to, except for every once in a while, dip out maybe to get another quote or two. We're going to stay in unveiling of God for a few services, Lord willing. So this is he preached this in Los Angeles in April. Is it April? Yep. All right. He was God, the Logos, the word that went out of God. And when he began to brood upon the earth and brought forth marine life, he's brooding, brought forth something. So Brother Branham, in the past, we have talked about let there be, and let there be was a seed. And now Brother Branham's talking about let there be is the power to bring the seed to be. And so we've talked about in the past about, Brother Branham talked about those two halves of that Chinese laundryman ticket, how they went together. And so think about this. And when he began to brood upon the earth and brought forth marine life, when the Spirit of God, the Logos, the Word, which God said, let there be, and there went the Logos, which is the word. When he said, let there be, there it went out of him. And the word began to, cause all this was in the Logos. When it went out, all these things that we're going to talk about was in the Logos. The word began to cause all this was in the Logos, the whole word of God, the whole Bible for every age. So when the Logos came out, the prophet for every age, the word for every age, everything that God was going to do was in that Logos when it come out of God, when it come forth. And so it had to be fulfilled. Every church age had to be fulfilled, because what did Brother Branham say the Bible was? Right. The revelation of Jesus Christ. So when it come out of him, all of the Bible was in him. Everything that was going to take, Brother Branham said, when he spoke, let there be, that he rested on the seventh day, and he said you hardly ever see him speak the rest of the time. He's done. He planted the seeds. He spoke. And now he was just brooding over those. Now, what's interesting is where that seed was and how he was brooding over it. Now, this is so good. We know that the word always comes to the prophet. So watch this. The word began to cause all this was in the Logos. The whole word of God, the whole Bible for every age. And as the Logos, the whole Bible for every age was brooding over those seeds. So if the whole Bible for every age was brooding over that seed, then what was in that seed? The whole Bible for every age. I know that's silly. It sounds kind of silly, but that's what God was going to bring about. And that's what that seed was going to bring about. And as the Logos began to breathe upon the earth, there come marine life and building up the bird life on up to animal life. And we've went over some of these quotes. And finally, there come something in the representation or looked like the thing that was brewing it, brooding over it. God, a man in the very image of God. He looked just like God. That's what Brother Ram's saying. Looked just like him. But it wasn't him, because he fell. Don't miss that. Brother Ram said he was behind the word. Okay, so it doesn't mean Adam wasn't going to be the word. He was. But there was a way and an order for that to take place. And when I say Adam wasn't the Word, what I mean was that he had not been manifested as the Word yet. He was behind it. You can't be manifested the Word and just be behind it. You can be a part of the Word. And we'll get into that in a minute, because Brother Ram talked about God through the church ages was working through the church. But in Jesus' time, he was working in man. Through the church ages, working through, but in Jesus, working in man. A difference. Because he said Jesus was the Word and Adam was behind it. He talked about the people in the church ages behind the Word. Up until the end, everybody was behind it. After a while, you find out there is only that. You either go away from it altogether, you stay behind it, or you are it. And if you stay behind it, you will become that. That man fell. I don't know if y'all saw that quote I posted out there the other day. It said, Jesus was always the Word. But then when he went down to the river that day, the Word became the Word. So there's something there that we need to know. Because Brother Branham said that we come through him. That man fell like the seed has to fall. That was a seed, spoken word seed. It had to fall. And then God began to brood over that. Who said that Adam had to fall? The Word said it, not Chris. I just want to make that clear. That man fell like the seed has to fall. And then God began to brood over that after the fall. He brought up an Enoch. Now listen to what he just said. He's been brooding all this time, and he got a man that looked just like him. And then he fell. And what does he do? He keeps right on brooding that same seed. It's fell down into the ground, and now he's brooding it up. It fell in the ground like he wanted it, like he meant for it to happen. And when God began to brood over that after the fall, he was brooding over it still. He brought up an Enoch, brooding this seed. Here, see, he said that everything was in the Bible was in the Logos. So now he's bringing up the Bible. He's bringing the Bible to pass. He brought up an Enoch. He brought up an Elijah. He brought up a Moses. He brought up prophet after prophet trying to restore that image again. Just trying to get back to Adam, the image that looked like God. And finally, upon the earth came the genuine image of God himself again, which was God, the Logos, made flesh and dwelt among us. The Logos had been made flesh. And that's why all this time I've stressed about Adam. It's because that was not the Logos made manifest. In the Logos was male and female. And that was the seed there. In the Genesis was the seed chapter. And in that seed that the Logos, both male and female, was brooding over, was going to bring out male and female. And that's what it done. The seed had to go into the ground. Himself. Genuine image of God himself again, which was God, the Logos, made flesh and dwelt among us. Now that same Logos was a part. He has got a bride. And the same Logos, this Word that cannot be tampered with, she is part of the Word that cannot be tampered with, is brooding over the churches today, trying to bring back the Word to its full manifestation, which the prophets, now listen here real close, the prophets was carriers to that seed. And the church denominations has been carriers to the seed. So all through there, they've been carriers of this. Now, notice quickly, but like the shuck hugs holds in the seed now, then it leaves her. And this last day, she was put out. The seed leaves her. Jesus was God. He was. He was the Father. His Father was the great Logos itself. And he could not pour it all into Moses, for he was a prophet. And the word of the Lord always, never fails, comes to the prophet. Now, he just said that the word is the Logos, and it comes to the prophet. And he said that, what did he say about the prophets were carriers of the seed. Now, remember all the types that he talked about in the Old Testament, how that whenever the ark was moved, that's where the Ten Commandments were, then whenever that ark moved, the pillar of fire would move and lead them where they were going. And then when it would stop, the pillar of fire would go back over that ark. So the pillar of fire, that Logos, stayed over that word all the time. And here's what he's talking about. The prophets was carriers of the seed. And the word comes to them. But like the shuck hugs. Okay, I got that. Jesus was God. He was. His Father was the great Logos. And he could not pour it all in Moses, for he was a prophet. And the word of the Lord always, never fails, comes to the prophet. So the prophet, the carrier of the seed, and then the word comes to him. There's no place, no time in the Bible, or since the Bible, that the correct interpretation of the word come to a theologian. See, God had his Bible unfolding the whole time. It's not in the scriptures. Never did the Pharisees, never did the Sadducees, and never did God raise a prophet out of any of them, and never did he in this last days. And never did he didn't do it then, and he hadn't done it in the last days either. All right, so let's go over to the unveiling of God. I wanted to point that out, how that the word always comes to the prophet, and they're the carriers. And I wanted to show how that pillar of fire stayed over the ark. And Brother Bram said when it stayed over that ark, that showbread in there never rotted. It was always new. And what did they say about the church ages? That when you go from one to the next, you leave it because it becomes rotten, because the Holy Spirit moves away from it. It goes over something else, and something else is alive. But in the last age, it's been restored. So when it's restored, what does it do? It moves out of it into the eternal. But there, okay, so he's going to read from Philippians, the second chapter here at the beginning of this message. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Being of one accord, of one mind. See, that's what it means to be of accord. You have the same mind. That's what I was talking about. That's where Brother Branham got that, or maybe another place too, that there's only, the only way we're one is that we're each one with God. Yet nothing, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. None of our, we don't want any glory about something. We don't go through this life looking for it. And we don't, Brother Branham said, do things in strife. We just don't do them. But in the lowliness of mind, in lowliness of mind, this is the way we're going through. Let each esteem the other better than themselves. Because who is the one in charge? God. And you had better be esteeming the others, always, all of us, the other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things. Now listen, he is going right to the core of what it means to be a human being in this life. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, the rich man, he told the rich man to go sell what you have and give to the poor. And the rich man was dependent on that. That's where he had his faith in, was in that money. The silos full of grain and all these other things. You know, and I sent Brother Gerald a picture the other day. Me and Katrina was over here at this little thrift shop over here in Denver. And as we were going through, I spotted a picture of Hoffman's head. But it was the whole picture. And the whole picture, see that, what you see hanging is just a part of the picture. And when you zoom out, there's the rich young ruler. And you keep zooming out, and there's somebody around the corner watching them talk. And the whole picture is there. And I forgot where I was going with that. But the fact is that that rich young ruler, he was earnest. He was trying his best to do. He'd done all the commandments. He'd done all these things. But he just couldn't turn loose and let God have control. He still wanted to have it. He still wanted to put his faith in the things and in the money and stuff. And that's where so many people in this world are there. And it's not just things and money. It's people and stuff to do and all the other things that people's got going. We think we got to have all these stuff, all these piles of things. My vocabulary is pretty poor. But you saw where he was putting his faith. Where he was stocking, putting his stock there. It doesn't mean we don't have things. I'm not trying to say anything about that kind of stuff. I want the spiritual part of this to hit. If the spiritual part will hit, it'll take care of the world and the things around the world. God will make you what he wants you to be. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Jesus Christ, was in Christ Jesus, the same mind. And what did he say? I must be about my Father's business. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He didn't make himself a reputation. You look at what he said. He was always pointing to God. Always, over and over and over, saying, it's not me that does it. It's God. It's my Father. He's always pointing to him. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Even the death of the cross. And if we shall, and now let's turn over. He wants to go to another scripture here in 2 Corinthians. All right. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. He's made us ministers of the word, not of the letter. We don't minister the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, now he's talking about during Moses' time, written and engraved in stones, the law, because law brought, Brother Bram said it just showed they couldn't keep it. It condemned them. So if the ministration of death, so God bringing that forth and showing that the law was going to, would kill, that they couldn't keep it. If the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfast behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory has to be done away with. If that was so great that they couldn't look at it, and that was of death. I think it said death. Yes. Which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glorious, which is that what that was, which more, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. So what God's doing now, God done that to show things. Now he's doing this. But even that which was made glorious has no glory in this respect, by reasons of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glory, much more hath which remaineth is glory. So if it's been done away, then what's coming is even greater. Seeing then that we have such a hope, we must greatly, use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. So they still believe these things. They have not seen Christ. Which veil is done away in Christ. So they done away with it, got Christ done away with the veil. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, then when it shall be turned to the Lord, when that, the veil shall be taken away. Anytime you're turned to the Lord, the veil's taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, has changed into the same image from glory unto glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So God has went from image to image. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. So God's given us something to do, and we're not going to faint because we see he's given it to us. But have renounced the hidden things and the dishonest, not walking in craftiness and handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. This is how it's coming forth, by manifestation of the truth. Only God can do that. Condemning ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them which are lost. And may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Now, listen to Brother Branham start bringing some examples here. Now, my subject this morning, I trust that God will reveal this. And each time, if you take the tapes and listen, I hope and trust that you have a spiritual understanding of what that God has been trying to get over to the church without saying it right out. See, it's a thing. Sometime we have to say things in such a way that it might thin down. You have to say things that the intellect can't figure out. It might bring some to go out, some to leave. It brings them to go out because they tried to add their interpretation to it and they can't understand it and they get frustrated and leave. Some to leave, some to ponder over, but that's done purposely. These things are said this way so that they'll try to understand them intellectually and they can't do it and they'll leave. And he's going to give you an example here in a minute. It must be done that way. Then it might be that some say, you mean God would purposely do a thing like that? He's preaching this message, the unveiling of God. So he's veiled. So he's talking about how he's veiled and how he's unveiled. He certainly did. He does yet. He still does it. He said one day when he had thousands around him, and he's going to give you some examples of when he did it. He said, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of God, or Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. See, he said, drink his blood. Now, he knew that if they're not going to accept it by faith, what that's going to do? They go off talking about him being a vampire and all these other things. And there was a ministerial association with him of 70. So he said these things to them, 70. Because the multitudes had already left. Now he turns around to them. 70 that had been chosen. And he turned to them and said, "What will you think when, you see the Son of Man ascending up from where he come from?" Now he didn't explain it. He just turned around and asked them the question. He never explained how. Paul did that later on. Paul explained that later. He just said it, see? And then when in this, he said, "What will you say to these ministers when you see the Son of Man ascending up from where he come from?" No doubt that man said, "Now, just a minute. Oh, we eat with him." See, they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to do it themselves. Brother Branham said they always do. And it always crashes up. That's why he said if we're trying to do it ourselves, it'll end up in self, showing itself as self-righteousness. Oh, we eat with him. We fish with him. We slept with him. We know where he was born. We seen the cradle he was rocked in. And how does this man, this is a hard saying. Now everything that's happened, everything he said is going out the door because they can't figure out in their minds one thing that he's saying. You're talking about how he's veiled and how he's unveiled. And the Bible said they didn't walk with him anymore. They left him. See, he's veiled. And by being veiled, they didn't realize who he was. Then he had 12 left. He had chose 12, and one of them was a devil. And he said, so he turned to them. And there's no one could explain what he had just said. Not one of them could explain it. Not the ones that left, nor the ones that stayed. How are we going to eat his flesh and drink his blood? And how did he come down when he was born right here on earth? See, they couldn't understand it. And then he turned to the apostles and he said, "Do you want to go also?" And that's when Apostle Peter, now here's what brings the unveiling. You have pushed aside the thought that you can't figure this out. You can't say how this is happening or that's happening. And that's when Apostle Peter made the great statement, "Lord, to whom would we go?" See? "For we're satisfied. We know as surely that you, assuredly that you and you alone have the word of life of this hour." And people need to believe the prophet that way. See? And we are satisfied of that. See, they could not explain it. You can't explain faith. It's something that you believe. They believed what he said and could not tell you, explain what he was saying. But they believed it. They didn't know why. And Brother Michael sings that song, "Something Keeps Holding Me." And it's so solid that there is nothing else will take its place. Nothing else will take faith's place. Therefore, they knowed that the word that was written for that age that they were living in, the Messianic age, that he fit that place exactly. They did know that. They couldn't explain these other things he was saying, but they did know that. And that could, and what could they do but go back in them cold, formal churches that they had come out of? Now you think about why he's saying these things. It's bringing it today. He's preaching the message, unveiling of God. Where would we go to? See, we are fully persuaded that you have the word of life. See, and they couldn't explain it, but they believed it. See, and Jesus said that, he said that to weed down his crowd. It was the word. But he said the word in such a way that they're going to try to figure it out. And he knew when they tried to figure it out, they was going to leave. Now you think about how much of the message is that way in this day, about the ending of the age and how back there in the back, he didn't tell them to quit washing pots and pans. He didn't tell them to go quit being circumcised. He didn't tell them that. But they saw the temple veil rent from the top to the bottom, and that had been hid all this time was there, and Jesus was on the cross. They saw that. They knew those things. And Jesus said that to weed down his crowd, see, till he could get the group together. He's weeding them down to get his group together. And out of all those people, the only 11 of them then understood actually who he was. Brother Branham said that Judas all along never did believe. They know that he was God and God alone. My subject this morning, he's telling you, is to reveal or unveil that God. That's a mighty big statement, isn't it? How many preachers are you going to hear? There'll be a bunch of them talk about that nowadays. And then they'll spend the next 30 minutes asking for money. And then drop a scripture for the next 5 minutes. And it means nothing because they don't know what it means. It means something, but it don't mean nothing to them. And then go on their way. They got what they wanted. They worship Mammon? My subject this morning is to reveal or unveil that God. God has always, in every age, has hid behind a veil. All ages he's done it. But he's been God all the time. See? But he keeps himself hid from the world and reveals himself to his elected, like the apostles at that day. Like just like that. Now, that was God speaking in Christ. Now, man has always, it's been the nature of man, he sought to see physically that God. And he always wanted to see it. Man has made creatures that look like him, what they thought he looked like. The Indians worship the sun. They find out in Africa different forms of animals and so forth, and up the totem poles in Alaska, and different forms that they think this God is in those forms. And as Paul spoke there at Athens that time on Mars Hill and told them that they were superstitious concerning this unknown God, that they knowed he was there, but yet they didn't know him. That's what superstition is. They knew he was there, but they didn't know him. The apostles knew that was him. They knew he was there and they knew it was him. They couldn't explain everything he said, but they knew him. He was there, but yet they didn't know him. And so we find even back as far as Job. Now he's setting a scene for us. He's talking about people who wanted to see God and how they wanted to see God and how people has tried to see God and tried to make images to him. Job knew that there was a God. He knew it. And there's not a human being in their right mind but what knows that there has got to be something somewhere. A whole lot of superstition. People talk about ghosts when there ain't no such thing as ghosts. Spirits, yes, but ghosts, no. And now, what I mean is they're not here in our realm. And now Job wanted to talk to him. And I want you to notice the form that God chose to talk to Job in. So God takes on forms to talk, to communicate, to show himself. God was veiled when he talked to Job. He's always veiled. Remember Brother Branham said? He was veiled in a whirlwind. Come down in a whirlwind. You believe that God still comes in whirlwind, can come where you see? Now, when he said that, you know what he was talking about if you listen on the tape. That's why the congregation says, amen. Because if you look, this had just a couple months before this is when he threw the rock up and it come down. There is several sitting there here, a number that was with us the other day when he come in a whirlwind. God comes veiled in a whirlwind. Told us the day before, Brother Banks Woods and them, when he said, take up this rock, throw it up in the air and say, "Thus saith the Lord," you'll see it right away. I picked up the rock up on the top of the mountain, threw it up in the air, and of course, coming down, it started a whirlwind, see, a suction of it. And you have to do something to cause something to follow it. Jesus took a piece of bread and broke it, then multiplied from that piece of bread. The bread had to be broke first before the multiplication could come. Don't miss that. Then multiplied from that piece of bread. He took water, poured it into a pitcher. Elijah took salt, put it in a cruse, cut down a stick, throwed it on the water. It's something to symbolize. And picked up this rock and throwed it into the air, and coming down, it started a whirlwind. And Brother Borders, and I skipped some places in here to shorten this up. And Brother Borders, I think he's outside now. He was along, Brother Banks Woods, I think, and oh, several was up there, 8 or 10. And Brother Banks Woods, watching for this, right on the mountain, see, he told him it was going to come, right on the mountain, right across from exactly about 1/2 mile where the 7 angels appeared. So they're up there camping about 1/2 mile from where those angels appeared, and here's where this happens. That I left here to go there for that come back and told about the 7 seals. So he's referring back to when those 7 angels were there. Just about 1/2 mile from that. And I walked back to where I was supposed to be standing. And out of the air come a whirlwind down through a canyon from above. Now he's just stated, don't let it leave your mind, that he is unveiling God. That's his subject this morning, to unveil God and how he veils himself. And now he's pointing it out. Was supposed to be standing, and out of the air come a whirlwind down through a canyon from above that was so great till it tore rocks 8 or 10 inches through out of the top of the mountain and throwed them 200 yards out in, and clapped 3 times like that, and a voice come from it. See? Now he's testifying on tape to what God was doing in veiled in a whirlwind. Now remember what he told. Now just thinking, I don't want you to miss that every time he's saying something, it means something to us. It's alive. And to prove that, you think about when he was in that cabin and he was telling about the squirrels. And when he was telling about the squirrels, little Hattie was sitting over there listening to him, testifying about what God was doing. God unveiling himself, veiled in these things. And he's testifying to it. And what does she say? Brother Branham, that's nothing but the truth. She called out to this. She couldn't explain that, but it sounded like the truth to her. See, no man can call Christ Jesus the Christ except the Father shows him in there. See, that wasn't, Hattie wasn't better than somebody else. Hattie just give her life to God and God come and act it. And you said, we just read what Jesus done. We just read what Paul done. We read what all these done. Peter gave his life. And throwed them 200 yards out and clapped 3 times like that. And a voice came from it. See, the voice. There it is, veiled in a thunder, a voice. But went ahead and happened just a little traveling northward, a few days later, it hit in the ocean. And you've seen what happened around Fairbanks. It was a judgment sign. And Brother Bram said it will continue on to the end. That God still, you see, it throw people into panics. And so then that had to happen, see. It just has to happen. In other words, whether I say it, whether I tell somebody it's going to happen or not, it's going to happen. It had just has to happen. The things that's got to happen has got to happen anyhow. See, it's going to happen anyhow. And Moses one time desired to see God. And here's another man wanting to see God. And God told him to stand on the rock. You're going to see God if he stands on the rock. And what's the rock? The word. And he told Moses to stand on the rock. Look, even where he was telling Moses to put his physical feet, it's testifying to something. The Bible is unfolding outward. And on the rock, Moses stood, and he seen God pass by, and his back looked like the back of a man. That's the only part he could see was the back of him. And he could only see it standing on the rock where he was standing. God was in a whirlwind. And God, while Moses standing on the rock. I guess you all seen the picture out here, out there the other day. We stood by that same rock. And here is that light, the angel of the Lord, right there where it clapped. So where that rock was, it popped. That's where they were standing. Told him to go stand on the rock. And that's where they saw the light, when they were standing on the rock. That's when the picture was took. There's the angel. There is that light, the angel of the Lord, right there where it clapped, standing. It's right on the bulletin board here now again. And notice Jehovah of the Old Testament. He's talking about this light, see, where it's at and where it goes. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament, see. He's the same God, just changing his form. So God is veiled in forms. He changes them all the time. What did Brother Branham say? In morphe. He called it in morphe, which means a mask. He's changing his mask. And he's the same God, just changing his form. And someone said the other day, a Baptist minister out in Tucson, how can you say that Jesus and God would be the same person? I said, well, it's very easy if you just let your own thinking get away. You got to let your own thinking go and take the mind of Christ. Stand on the rock so you can see the light. And think the Bible terms of it. They are the self-same being. God is a spirit. Jesus is the body that he was veiled in. And I said, like in my home, to my wife, I am her husband. And I have a young daughter, Rebecca. I'm her grandfather. And I have a grandson, and his name is Paul. I'm his grandfather. I am husband, father, and grandfather, the self-same being. And my wife has no claims on me as father or grandfather. She has claims on me alone as husband. And my daughter has no claims on me as husband or grandfather. She is my child, see? But yet all of these three persons is the same person. See, that's God. See, now that's taking the Bible terms, he said. That's standing on the rock. That's God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It is just the same. It's just the dispensation claims. God is same, the same God. God changed himself, changes his form. God changes his form. If you notice here in Philippians, he said, not thinking it robbery, but took the form of man. And now the Greek word there for that form, he pointed out this in the scripture about it not being robbery, but took the form of man. And he said he went and found the Greek word for it. It means morphe, form, change in his mask. He goes on later in Who's Melchizedek to talk about that more. The Greek word there for that form, I've been looking at it all day yesterday. Been looking at it all day yesterday. Trying to think out what it was. I find come with this word of emorpha. It's spelled E-N-M-O-R-P-H-E. Looking in the Greek to find out what emorpha was, I may pronounce that wrong, but reason I spell it, when if a tape is released, the people will, scholars will know what I mean by it. And when the emorpha, that means he changed his self. God changed his self. He, God doesn't change, but he can change the form in which he shows himself. He doesn't change in essence, Brother Ram said. That he changed himself, he come down, he come down. Now the Greek word there means that something that could not be seen, yet it's there. God couldn't be seen, but now he's seen. Show us the Father. Have I not been with you all this time? Something that could not be seen, but it's there. And then it's changed, and the eye can catch it. It was there. Nobody can see it there, but then it's changed and the eye sees it. The light hits it. See, the Elijah, like Elijah was at Dothan. The servant couldn't see all those angels around there. See, the light wasn't hitting them and coming to his eyes. And so God just changed, not brought the angels down. He didn't bring the angels down. He changed the seeing of the servant. Now listen, he's still talking about the unveiling of God. He talked about him standing on the rock to see God. He's given all these little examples for us. And God just changed, not brought the angels down, but he changed the seeing of his servant. And that's what happens to the bride. They're changed the seeing. Their seeing changes. And there was the mountains full of angels. And fire, and horses of fire, and chariots of fire, all around his prophet. See, that he changed the scene. The thing is already there. Now he's stressing that. God's already there. People just can't see him. You have to change your seeing to see him. And what changed their seeing? Standing on the rock changed their seeing. So that, what I'm trying to say, that God that always was, is here. The only thing he done when he become man, he changed his mask. See, this emorphe, he changed himself to what he was, to what he was to what he is, or his mask, another act. Like in a great drama. As I was speaking this morning, kind of catching up on this Shakespeare, it's been a long time, but when Shakespeare wrote the drama for King James of England, when the character of Macbeth, see, Shakespeare did not believe in witches, but in the play for the king did believe in witches, so he had to include witches, see. And now, in order to do this, they changed the cast. And Becky here in Carmen, I guess that's the school, they acted that in the school where she just graduated a few weeks ago. Now, maybe one person played three or four parts. In order to do that, he changed his mask. Sometimes he comes out, he's this character, and the next time he comes out, he's another character. But it's the same person all the time. See, that's too simple. People will go read the Bible and they'll say, well, now, they have their idea. That don't work here. That don't work here. And that don't work here. But it's just too simple. Just stand on the rock and let God's faith open it. But it is the same person all the time. And that's God. He changed himself from a pillar of fire to become a man. From the pillar of fire to become a man. Then changed himself from that back in the spirit again, that he might dwell in man. God acting in man what he really was. God acting in man what he really was. Jesus Christ was God acting in man, in a man. That's what he was. He had changed from the pillar of fire, the Logos. Brother Bram said the pillar of fire was the Logos. He had changed from the pillar of fire and then had come in, which was a veil in the wilderness that hid God from Israel. Moses seeing the shape of his body, but really he was hid all the time behind this pillar of fire, which was the Logos that went from God. Now, we find here, now, since Pentecost, God is not acting in man. Or now he's acting through man. Since Pentecost. Now he's acting through man. See, he was acting in a man then at Jesus. He was acting in a man. Now he's acting through man that he's chosen for this purpose. He's still talking about unveiling God. God in the form of man. He changed himself from the form of God to a form of man. Then he came in three names, three sons' names. He's unveiling himself in three sons' names. He came in Son of Man, the Son of David, and the Son of God, three sons' names. He came first in the Son of Man because he was a prophet. He came first. What did he say? He reveals himself in three sons' names. He come in three sons' names. Is that what he said? He come first how? Son of Man. I lost my spot here. Let me see if I can get back to it here. He come first Son of Man because he was a prophet. So first he come as Son of Man. God come first as Son of Man. Now Jehovah himself called Ezekiel and the prophets Son of Man that seest. What seest thou? Jesus never referred to himself as Son of God. He referred to himself as Son of Man because the scriptures cannot be broken. Perfect. There can be nothing broken in the scriptures. Every word must be so. That's the way I believe it. That's the way it's got to be. Not because I believe it, because it's the word of God. Now, if you notice in the beginning, one word, page one in the Bible, in Genesis 1, we find out that the sickness, all sorrow, all the heartaches and everything that's ever happened to human beings came because one person disbelieved one word caused all this. She disbelieved one word and it hid God from them. That's the first of the Bible. In the last of the Bible, Revelation 22, the same God said, whosoever shall take one word out of this or add one word to it. See, it must be word by word just the way it is. So whatever the word says, that has to be what takes place. So therefore, and just take the little thing I'm going, someone always going on to me about women bobbing their hair. Now to me, as long as she does that, I don't care how saintly she does and how much she knows, she's still wrong. That's not a testimony of God. She wears shorts and these clothes like that. I don't care what she does, how much she prays, how much she sings, how well she does this or that, how much she can sing, how well she can preach, whatever she could do. What kind of a life she lives, it's still that one word is broke. And so that isn't God. That's what he's telling them. And you break the one word, your part's taken out of the book. It's still that one word is broke. And see, like Brother Branham said, they go all into this about If I could just quit drinking, if I could just quit this. And he said, get in Christ and it's all gone. See, they're trying to do it with this thing and not with with faith. See, it's got to be every word. Let God do it in you. Not a sentence, a word. One word. So the Bible is no private interpretation. It must be word by word the way it's written. We must believe that. We must believe that word. And what about the word that comes to the prophet? What about the fulfillment of that word in our day? Are we to believe that too? That's this same way? And not only believe it, but live it. If we don't live it, then we don't believe it. We just say we do. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? We say we do, but if we don't live it, we don't believe it. Brother Bram says, if you believe it, it lives itself out. If you're standing on the rock, you see God. It's unveiled to you, and it's unveiled to the world what's in you. That's what he's trying to get to the people. When God's word is in you, and you believe that, then that's what comes out to the people. And when you say you believe it, and you're cutting your hair and these other things like that, you don't. It's what he's trying to tell them. We don't believe it. We just say we do. Basing back to what I said, those disciples could not explain it, but they believed it. See, he circled back around to that now. But they believed it anyhow, and they made their confession and lived to it. And when all the rest of them walked away from it, they stayed with it. They believed it. That's the way we do. That's the way you got to do it. No matter what anybody else does, you believe it, and then we act upon it. We believe it, and we act on it. If you don't do it, then you don't believe it. So that's even now. He circled back around. He's ratcheted that down a lot tighter. While ago, he said, if you don't do it, you don't believe it. And he was pointing to people like they wouldn't quit cutting their hair or they put on a pair of shorts or something. Now he comes back around here and he says, if we believe it and then we won't act upon it. And he said, if we believe it and we act upon it, if you don't do it, then you don't believe it. If you don't act on it, you don't believe it. He's including everything, all the word, not just the things that what we people would call do's and don'ts. Not that. It's all of it. You act on all of it. Now notice now, as he came, he had to come as Son of Man because the Holy Scripture said that he would. God would raise up a prophet to them. So he could not come calling himself the Son of God because it wasn't that dispensation. See, the word in him, not making any mistakes, coming out. Men make mistakes, but God in men brings out the truth. It was the Son of Man prophesying to fulfill and revealing to them all the things that had been done and typed what he was. All the things in the Bible that had typed what he was and been done and spoke, he was revealing to them that had been spoke of him. Then he was on earth as Son of Man. Look at that Syrophoenician woman run to him and said, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now he's still talking about how's God unveiled to people. Talking about approaching God. That's what he's talking about here. That she's approaching him by calling him the wrong name. Woman run to him and said, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He never was. Never as much as raised his head. She had no claims on him as Son of David. He was a Gentile. See, he didn't even respond to her calling him the wrong thing. Because that's not what he was. If he responded to her calling him the wrong thing, then he was acting wrong. Look at that. How perfect that God is and was in Jesus. Bro, just think that God is in us. no more than my daughter has claims on me as husband. So he didn't act that way. Or my wife is daughter. Yet she's my daughter and my wife. She's my daughter in the gospel. But earthly, she has no rights to call me a father, see? Now notice, this Gentile woman had no claims on him as son of David. But blind Bartimaeus did. See, he was a Jew. He came as son of man. Now he come as son of man. You have to know these words and things. You have to know these words and these things. Look at Hattie Wright that time when the third pull, you remember it, of all of everything, that woman said the right thing. He was testifying to that third pull, and she identified it because of faith in her. She wasn't trying to get something. She wasn't. Her motivation was purely that, my, that's God, Brother Branham. That's nothing but God. You remember it. See where she was standing and how God spoke to her? And people can say all they want to, but God spoke to that woman and gave her whatever she wanted. You remember it? Of all the everything that woman said, the right thing. You got to say the right word, the right thing to God. Notice now, he come first as the prophet, and they crucified him. His own crucified him. He come as son of man. And then when he come as son of man in this day, what did they do? They crucified him again. Put him out. Amen. We'll stop right there. We'll pick up in the message there. And I think I have some that I want to pull in from, who is this Melchizedek in there, but we'll continue in the message there. And if y'all have any questions, if I ramble on and say something, please ask me, you know, write it down, whatever you want to do. Type it and drop it in the offering box. Whatever, you know, if you want to remain anonymous and still ask questions, that's fine. And anytime I put my name and address there, I mean, email address on the bottom of the quotes there when I preach online there, and I'm wanting people to write me and talk. I told them if they don't have a question, let's just write and let's just talk about the Lord, you know? Why can we not just talk about him all the time? It's not a certain time we sit down and start talking about him. Talk about him all the time. He comes on my mind all the time. I'm sure he does come on your mind too. But let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. But I thought of a song there while we were going on. I wonder if Brother Michael would lead us in that. Something keeps holding me. And let's all sing that one. Is that okay? You got those stuff, Katrina? It's in the red book?
No, it's a little.
Okay. $264. Could I borrow one of those?
Yes, this is yours here. Let's turn the time to have it. There you go.
Thank you. All right. The trial of this world was getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could bear. and I was on the verge of giving over. The strength within myself just wasn't there, but something keeps holding me. Every day I see, helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding me. Satan laid before me his temptation of his desire to steal away my faith. But I have found inside the revelation, the strength I need to give me in His grace. And something keeps holding me. Every day I see, He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. He's guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding me. Sing it again. But something keeps holding me. Every day I see, He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality, 'cause something keeps holding me. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that You keep holding us. Lord, for the revelation to know, to look to You, Lord, for all things, and to trust You for all things, and to walk on, Lord, expecting all that we have need of to be supplied, Lord. You've set us at the table, Lord. And the table is full. We just need to reach out and take it. Lord, let us act on it, as the scripture says, Lord. It's there. It's the truth. Let's act on it, Lord. May You bring it and put it in our hearts, Lord, that we would act upon it. And Lord, You go with us as we leave from here. Let us, Lord, be a light wherever we go. Let this word of this day shine, Lord. And nothing else, nothing short, nothing more, just You, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.